think all get started. My name is Reba McAlden, and I am a graduate student at the UMM, University of Minnesota, and I study modern butterfly. So today, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the monarch butterfly life cycle. Anybody know what I mean by life cycle? What do you think that means?
From an egg to full grown.
Yep. So we're going to go from an egg to an adult butterfly. That's what we mean when we say life cycle. So all things have life cycles. They're all different. So we're going to focus on that. Some of you probably know that monarchs migrate all the way down to Mexico in the winter. But I'm not going to talk about that today. That would be referred to as their annual cycle, what they do every year. Okay? So some insects, for example, just go through one life cycle every year. So in that case, their life cycle and annual cycle would be pretty similar. Monarchs go through multiple life cycles within 1 year. So we're just going to talk about the life cycle today, and then on Wednesday we're going to talk about the migration and their annual cycle. Okay? So, this is a picture of kind of the perfect habitat for a monarch butterfly. This is a prairie in Wisconsin, and there's lots of blooming flowers, and right up in here, kind of hard to see, is milkweed. And that is what the monarch will lay her eggs on and the caterpillars will eat as they develop. This is a close-up picture of milkweed. This is common milkweed. It's pretty much found all over North America, particularly east of the Rocky Mountains. This is really up from it's not very prevalent in Texas, but pretty much everywhere north of Texas, this is what kind of milkweed the monarchs are laying their eggs on and eating. This is tropical milkweed. It's found in Mexico. When they go there in the winter, though, they are near this milkweed. There are other monarch populations that are in Mexico all year, and this is what they would be eating. Okay? There is milkweed in Washington State. This is what it looks like. It's called showy milkweed. Looks a lot like common milkweed, only the flowers are a little bit bigger and showier. I don't think that there's going to be any around Holton, which is not up in the mountain. Probably more in eastern Washington. And the other characteristic of milkweed is the seeds. So if you go around in the fall, you might see milkweed has those pods, and once they get mature, they burst open, and that's what the seeds look like. Okay? So during their life cycle, monarchs are looking for things for two things, milkweed and flowers to nectar. And the adults eat the nectar and the caterpillars eat the milkweed. Why do you think it'd be a good idea for a monarch for the adult to eat one thing and the caterpillars to eat another thing? Why do you think they would do that? What might be the advantage for an organism to have one part of the life cycle be eating one thing and another part of the life cycle
Diversify their diet.
Why would that be a good idea?
So they don't run out.
Because you would hate to have a female butterfly competing with her children for food. So this way, they're not competing.
Is this a speculation or is this something we know?
It's pretty much something we know. Lots of organisms do it where there's plenty. Particularly insects that go through what's called complete metamorphosis, and that's anything that has a chrysalis or a cocoon or something. So like beetles, you know, think about like a fly, the young of a fly and a maggot, and that's completely different from the fly. So they're doing the same thing, they're eating different things. as an adult and a young. Not everything does that, but that you want to manage. So this is a wonderful habitat for an adult butterfly. And this is a monarch nectaring. You can kind of see on the top of the picture what's called the proboscis, and that's the straw-like pump. And she's sticking it into the milkweed flower to get the nectar. This is a close-up picture of what that looks like. So it's basically a hollow tube, and at the end, you can see those two forks like a snake. And when the butterfly first emerges from its chrysalis, the entire proboscis is actually in two parts, and then it zips it up to make the straw. So this one, this butterfly, probably about a day old, and just has completely zipped up its entire proboscis. And I have seen it where they don't quite finish, and you know, they hit right there. There's not a whole lot you can do about that. The other job, so the first job is to eat, whether it be milkweed or nectar. The other job is to mate. And this is a picture of a male and a female butterfly mating. And they'll actually stay together all day and into the night. So they'll stay coupled until about 2 in the morning, actually. And we think the reason why is so that the male can ensure that his sperm is the last one in, first one out. So this way, no other male can mate with her, and then in the morning, she'll start laying eggs right away. So she is not as advantageous for her to mate multiple times because they're together so long, she loses all that time that she could be laying eggs. But it is advantageous for the male to stay together, so that he makes sure that she, when she lays eggs in the morning, that they kill in the father. So this is what a monarch egg looks like. It's creamy white, and it has a tip at the top and kind of ridges on the side. That's how you know, if you're looking at milkweed, a lot of times the milk from the plant will seep out if it brushed and breaks at all, and that can look a lot like an egg. But the monarch egg is definitely creamier and has ridges and a pointed tip. And the milk chocolate will just be really completely round and white.
So how tiny would that be?
You'll see one in about 10 minutes, but it's quite tiny. When the caterpillar first hatches, this is what it looks like. It doesn't have any stripes until it eats milkweed for the first time. So when it first comes out, it's kind of this grayish green. And the first thing that it will do is eat it eggshell. So it's kind of a free meal. There's a lot of protein in there, and it's right there. And we don't know, but it's possible that predators could find the empty eggshell, and then it would know that there was a caterpillar nearby. So that could be another reason why they eat their eggshell. So up at the top is an egg on that top leaf. And then the monarch caterpillar goes through 5 stages, or instars, we call them. And the caterpillar will grow 2,000 times as it's developing. So there are 5 instars. So on this side is the first instar. This one is already eaten some of the milkweed, so it has its right. And then the second instar, third in the middle, fourth, and fifth. And we'll go through them all in a second, but although it does get bigger and bigger with every molt, with every change in stage, you can't really use size to determine what instar it is. You have to really go by the antenna. Because what they're really doing when they're molting is getting a new head, a new face. Because they eat and eat and eat, and then eventually they get big enough so that their mouth is so small, they can't get enough food in. So they have to get a break, molt, get a whole new head, a whole new jaw, and then they get to eat more. So you'll see an effect that they do grow quite a bit within one stage. So, you know, a caterpillar that just molted into a second instar might actually be the same size as one that is an older first instar. You have to use the antenna really to know. So this is a picture of two second instars, and the one on the right has just molted. And not only do we know that he's smaller, but also his head is still clear. It's black and it hardens. And then the one on the left is a second instar that probably just about to molt into a third instar. So the first instar has no antennae on the front or on the back. So that's how you know the first instar. There's no antennae at all. The second instar have antennae on the front, but these back ones are just kind of little nubs. And we'll look at that later. This is a third instar, and it's just molted. So you can see the skin kind of left behind, and then it'll turn around and eat that as well, another free meal. And you know it's the third instar because the front antennae are a little longer. They go just to the tip of his face. And then the back antennae are a little bit longer than the second. The second instar, remember they were just little nubs? And now they have real antennae on the back.
What are the antennae for?
Probably for sensory, to see what's ahead. That's all you can really think of. And it's kind of like a dog's whisker. If it starts brushing up against something, they're probably going somewhere where they won't fit, So the plant that they eat, milkweed, has this milky latex on it, and it's really sticky. And especially when the caterpillar is just from the owner his or her egg, they're so tiny. And when they take that first bite of milkweed, all that milk, that milky latex, comes rushing out. And they can glue their jaw shut. And then they starve. So they have all kinds of strategies for blocking the flow of latex. Okay? So this is a shoe mark made by probably a first instar, one that just came out of its egg. And the caterpillar would be in the middle here, and it would make a shoe all the way around itself. And then you can see the latex is dammed up behind it. So then that caterpillar can eat all the milkweed it wants in there, and it doesn't have to worry about that in its jaw glued shut or anything. Okay? So if you ever see that on milkweed, then you know that there's a caterpillar nearby. This is a fifth instar. And when they're bigger like that, they have to eat a lot more. So just making a little cut all the way around them, that will last them maybe 10 minutes. So what the bigger caterpillars do is that they make a notch in the face of the leaf. So you can see that leaf is kind of folded over at the top. So they'll chew at the base of the leaf and cut off the flow of the latex all the way down. So then that caterpillar can eat the entire leaf, and he doesn't have to worry about the milk or getting stuck or anything. So then after they've gone through all their molts and all their stages, and they're full, they'll crawl up to the highest place they can find, a tree. We don't really know a whole lot about where they go, because they're really hard to find when they're in there. Chrysalis, but they'll crawl up and they make a little silk pad up at the top. There, you can kind of see the white on the wood, and they'll put their hind legs in there, and they'll hang upside down in kind of a J shape for about a day. And basically what they're doing is building up pressure in their head, and they'll build up tons and tons and tons of pressure at kind of the top of their head. And, oh, on your phone. And so what happens then is that there's insulin up at the top of their head, and it rolls back. So you can see in this picture, the skin is up at the around their feet still. So all of this was underneath that skin all that time. So the wings of the butterfly and all of that was already there underneath the skin of the caterpillar. Okay? So when it makes its chrysalis then, it just, what it's basically like it's doing is, it'd be like if you were hanging from a monkey bar with a glove on. And what you have to do is take your hand out of the glove and then get back on the monkey bars without falling. It's basically what they're doing. They're taking their skin off, so they're hanging by their back leg, folding up their skin. And then in this picture, you can see how the skin is kind of off. So it's taking this little back black stem up there out from underneath its skin, putting it up around and fixing it back into the silk pad there. That make sense? So in this picture, what that caterpillar is doing is wiggling all around, making sure that that black stem is really stuck in that silk pad. Because once it's in its chrysalis, it can't reattach it if it's all involved. So it's like you're on the monkey bars and the glove. Take your hand out of the glove and put it back on and it'll fall. It's really neat to watch. And so, the other thing. So when you, this whole part of the chrysalis, then that's all of it, its abdomen, scrunched up. So let's see. So you see how in this picture, the wings are pretty short. And what it does in these three pictures, you see, it just scrunches up that whole abdomen part. Does that make sense? So then you have the chrysalis. And it's in the chrysalis stage for about 10 days, depends on the temperature. And the last day, you'll start to see the color of the wings form. Now, the casing of the chrysalis is clear. So that whole time when you're looking at the green, like this, that is the color of the butterfly. You're seeing through into the chrysalis. So that last day is the pigment that you recognize as a monarch. And that's when you know it's almost ready to come out. And then when it comes out, it just makes a little slit there, you can see, and kind of crawls out. And the abdomen here, you can see how the wings are really small, and the abdomen is pretty large. And what it does is that all what's called hemolymph, which is like blood, stored up in an abdomen. And then it pumps it out through the veins into the wing. And that's how the wings spread out and get bigger. So when a butterfly first comes out of its chrysalis, its abdomen is much larger than you would think of until it pumps it out. Anyway, yeah. So this is a butterfly that just first came out, and so its wings are all still crumpled. And then it slowly pumps all that blood out into the wings. This is a monarch butterfly. Can anybody tell me, do you see anything different about these two butterflies? Yeah.
Spots on the left.
Spots on
the left. Depends on what you're looking at. Their eyes on the right.
These spots on the right, yep.
And just a single row of spots instead of double row, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, mostly we look at these spots. So you think that those spots would make that a male or a female?
Female.
Female? Why? those spots actually mean it's a male. And in monarchs, it doesn't matter, but in other butterflies that have those spots, there's actually pheromones in there, or scents. And what the butterflies, what the males will do, is they've got what are called parent pencils, which is kind of like a toilet brush, that comes out of their abdomen, the bottom of their abdomen, and they reach around, they dip it into those spots with the pheromone, and then sprinkle it around for the female. Monarchs don't do that. They still have the spots, but the male just pounces on the female. They don't waste time on that. But so that's the main way you can tell if it's a male or a female on the spot. Females are a little bit darker, and their veins are thicker. Here, all these veins are a little bit thicker than the male, but the spots are the thickest.
But there's a number of white spots, does that matter?
It doesn't matter. Some females do have, they do have more black, but there's not really, I don't know actually. I would imagine that all monarchs have a different spot configuration somewhat. But so when you, it's mostly the black spots on the bottom wings. Are there any questions? Alright, so I brought some caterpillars and eggs and butterflies that I thought we could look at. And so I have three stations out here, and we'll put the butterflies at one, and kind of the eggs and the littler caterpillar and another, and the bigger caterpillar and another. And we can, what I want you to do is, there's little magnifying glasses here with two different powers on them. They're pretty little. But one of the most important things that scientists do is just observe things and ask questions. So I just want you to kind of remember, obviously you probably won't remember everything I said, which is fine. But just take some time and kind of look at all, move through all the different stations, look at them, use the magnifying glasses, and just write anything. There's markers around, and write any observations, any questions that you have on these big pieces of paper. You can draw if you want. Sometimes if you draw what you see, that can really help you focus your observation. It's one of the reasons why scientists last time will draw in their notebooks and stuff. So just take some time, really look at what you see, think about it, ask questions. You can ask me questions, ask your neighbor questions, because you'd probably be surprised what you can figure out just talking. I wrote some questions up here just to get you started thinking along those lines. And if you fill up a sheet of paper and you want a new one, there's more. But yeah, just come on.